Last weekend I was at Wild Goose, which is an art, music, and justice festival. There were 2,000 or so progressive Christians gathered to sing, dance, preach, advocate, witness to the good news of God's love and justice. It was everything that my soul needed in these fraught times. You have to come with me next year. The highlight for me was I got to see Flamey Grant perform again. I saw her a couple weeks ago in Richmond. I saw the news about the shooting right before her performance, but I was able to set it aside for the next hour and just be present to her music. She was fabulous, and my heart is so full. And as soon as her concert ended, though, and I returned from the fangirl cloud that I was floating on, I really wished I could be here with you on Sunday morning. I'm glad I didn't have to preach the next day because it has given me more time to think about what I want to say to y'all during this time. So buckle up because I've got a lot to say. Driving home on Sunday, the line, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," kept running on a loop in my mind. Lead us not into temptation. I expect many of you have had less than charitable reactions when you saw the news. I know I've had my own reactions. Maybe you have continued to harbor uncharitable thoughts. Perhaps in the days since you have engaged in a conspiracy theory or two. Perhaps you have engaged in some heated political arguments. I'm sure you have worried about what the fallout will be. Perhaps you have felt waves of despair or frustration or sadness or even complacency. I know you're scared, grieving for our country. And if you haven't felt any of those things, that's fine. We know that plenty of this people in our country are moving closer to division than unity in the wake of this act of political violence. May there be no more. Lead us not into temptation. That line has continued to echo through my head this week. We don't often pray the Lord's Prayer here at Sojourners. I know it is a prayer that carries some mixed feelings for some of you, especially because I left the word Father in there. But when Jesus' disciples didn't know how to pray, these were the words that he gave him. I don't know how to pray right now. Perhaps that's why I've turned to these words. Having prayed those words nearly every Sunday of my life until I joined Sojourners, they are deep in my heart and rising up now with urgency. Lead us not into temptation. We live in a culture of debilitating fear, a culture where the temptation to define others as evil is ever present. We want God to keep us from the things we fear, the people we fear, the places we fear. We pray, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the time of trial. God, lead us not to the thing we most fear. Rescue us. I wonder if this line was personal for Jesus. Jesus knew that a time of trial was coming for him. It must have been a temptation to tone down his message or back off of his public appearances, or worse, enlist those who would gladly take up arms for him, but he didn't. In fact, he rebuffed Peter for cutting off the soldier's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, even as Jesus had just prayed for God to take this cup from him. "But thy will be done," he prayed. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Several months ago, I had a dream where my therapist asked me if I was familiar with the Serenity Prayer. I was really annoyed at her in the dream and said, "Yes, but I hate it." And then I thought about it a minute and I said, "Well, recently I heard the original version of the prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, and I like that one." Yes, apparently I dream about theologians by name. I get annoyed at the admonition to accept the things I can't change and only have courage to change the things that I can. I don't want to go through a time of trial. I don't think you do. What I like about the version printed in your bulletin is that it says the courage to change the things that should change. There's a lot of debate about which version was the original, but Niebuhr's daughter cites this as one of his earliest versions. She says that he tested out various formulations throughout his sermons throughout the 1930s, before this wording was published in 1943, does it say? It wasn't until Alcoholics Anonymous picked it up during World War II that it gained the popularity that it has in its most familiar words. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But I was thinking about this prayer and including it in this service this week, and I was drawn to the idea that it was written in a time, unfortunately, not unlike the one we are in now, a time of trial. Niebuhr was active in the resistance against the Nazis, and as a public theologian, he spent a lot of time preaching and teaching and writing against the rise of authoritarianism. One might argue that one clergy person couldn't do much to bring down the Nazi regime. Maybe he should have accepted the things he couldn't change. But in wisdom, he had the courage to work to change the things that should change. Jesus' prayer was also given during a time of great political upheaval. At Wild Goose, I attended a session by Obrey Hendricks, who has a book called The Politics of Jesus. In his workshop, he went line by line through this prayer that Jesus taught and explained the political message behind each line. I'm not going to do that today, but it is a subversive prayer used to teach the disciples about what it meant to resist the Roman Empire. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus continually come into conflict with the empire. It is what eventually leads to his crucifixion. But we also see Jesus resist the temptation to power and violence. In this prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to have the courage to face the harsh realities of their day by trusting God and trusting that God will uphold the holiness of God's name. And when God's holiness reigns instead of empire, when God's kingdom comes, everyone will have daily bread, forgiveness will be practiced instead of retribution, and all of creation will be rescued from the pain of evil. Not in some far off heaven, but here, now, on earth. But it's not just a sit back and wait for God to do all the work kind of prayer. Praying these words is meant to change the disciples, to form them, to change us. To form us. This prayer calls us out of our individualistic notions. Jesus said, "Our Father," to remind us that we are all children of God. Our mother, our daily bread, our sins deliver us and place us squarely in the middle of God's love. We are to feed and to forgive and to repent and to resist the temptations of violence and empire. Lead us not into temptation. I grieve for our country. I worry a lot about the next few months. I think these words, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," are rising up for me because I need to hear them. I need to be reminded of this prayer. We need to pray this prayer. The familiar words are a powerful reminder that we need God as we face the temptation and trials of our day, as we accept with grace what we cannot change, but work with courage to change the things that should change. We can only do that when we are grounded in prayer, grounded in God's love, searching after God's wisdom to help us know the difference. I've been having trouble finding internal quiet lately. I used to be able to sit and meditate or pray in silence for an hour every morning. It was a time of connection with God and with myself. It was my favorite part of the day. I joked with my kids that I wanted to go to bed so I could wake up and have my coffee, but really it was about that time of silence. But over the last few months, I can't quiet my brain. Anxiety is ever present. About a month and a half ago, on a whim, I wondered if I could draw an elephant. I love elephants. I've never considered myself much of an artist, never done any drawing other than doodling. I found a YouTube video, yep, look at the front of your bulletin. I found a YouTube video on how to draw an elephant and followed along. It turned out surprisingly okay, not that one on your bulletin. But the best part was my brain was quiet while I drew. So I did it again the next day. This time I just copied someone else's drawing. Again, silence. I decided to draw an elephant every day for a month. I get dedicated to practices. And I did. And after about a week, I went out and bought some fancy pencils and a sketchbook. Every morning now, I sit and draw in silence. I've branched out from elephants. I still mostly copy other people's drawings, but not always. I hadn't intended to ever show anyone these drawings, but I put that one on the bulletin to say, it's not about how you pray or how well you pray. You can copy someone else's prayer or make up your own words. It's not about being a good artist or a great musician or an eloquent prayer. It's about finding that sense of peace and quiet inside, that sense of connection with God, however you get there. Anxiety is still ever present for me, but when that pencil is in my hand, I can be still, and God meets me on the page. God will meet you in whatever form your prayer takes. The next few months are going to be hard, I fear. We need to find places of refuge from the noise, and I pray that this community will be a place of refuge for you. We also need to be able to find those places of refuge within ourselves. These two prayers, the Serenity Prayer and the prayer that Jesus taught, are good places to start. Pray them. Change up the words. Slowly contemplate one word or phrase. Post them somewhere you can see them. Draw them. Draw an elephant. Draw a month's worth of elephants. Sing one of the many arrangements of the prayers. Whatever makes sense with you to connect with these words. And these are not just words to repeat, but prayers to live. Julian of Norwich says, the whole purpose of praying is to be made one with the vision and contemplation of the one we long for. And no amount of prayer will make God conform to us. God is eternally shaped by love. We pray these prayers to connect with God and to let God form and lead us. Not into temptation, but ever deeper into the knowledge and love of God, not for ourselves alone, but for the sake of the whole of creation. Whatever your reaction to the news last Saturday, whatever temptations you have faced internally since then, whatever temptations you will face, I encourage you to meet the parts of yourself that are tempted towards a reaction you would rather not have with curiosity and compassion. And then, allow this prayer from Niebuhr, or the prayer that Jesus taught, or whatever other prayer or practice speaks to you, to lead you to a place of calm and connection to God and within yourself. Every night at Wild Goose, there is beer and hymns. A couple hundred of folks gather under a tent, drink of choice in hand, and sing hymns. It gets rowdier as the night goes on. Sounds simple enough, but it was incredibly powerful. You can hear the singing all over the campground, but the electric feeling once you step inside the tent is palpable. They pretty much sing the same songs every night in the same order every night, and yet somehow they maintain the same level of enthusiasm. Every night, someone acknowledges that many of these hymns can be activating for folks, but they sing them to reclaim and rewrite their experience. Every night, the second to last song was It Is Well. I love it. And the original verses are filled with theology that I don't love. But in that tent, it was deeply moving. We sang all the verses. When the instruments drop out for the last verse, the crowd of church outcasts and spiritual refugees who probably grew up singing in the youth choir break out into multi-part a cappella harmony, channeling this deep, intimate connection with God that cannot be broken by any church, any doctrine, any political ideology. It is well with my soul. With all that is happening in our country, in our world, on this planet, we need to connect with whatever it is that helps us stay rooted in God, whatever it is that helps us sing, it is well with my soul. So let Jesus lead you, lead through us through this time of trial, not into temptation, but into connection, into refuge, into serenity, into peace. May it be so. Amen.
Yes.